like a copy of God's Word offered to you quite freely, part of the Bible, the New Testament, in its entirety offered to you quite freely, without any cost or any obligation to you. You're simply not made for the taking. It is God's Word, and as I say, offered to you freely. The only thing free in Stafford today, I guarantee you, just as the gospel itself is, the good news of which it speaks. Read God's Word for yourself and see that these things that I bring before you week by week are in accordance with God's Word, that you might, well, at least meditate, study for yourself, and come, if you will, to your own conclusions, but maybe perhaps persuaded, maybe brought to that place of calling. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God tells us, seeking the Lord while he may be found, I call upon him while he is near. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands. No cost and no obligation to you. If you would like one, come and ask for one. We've been speaking these last days, answering some questions that may be begging upon your minds. I don't know what your thoughts are, but God does. And of course, bringing the gospel to you, maybe week by week, perhaps, maybe it raises questions in your mind. Bible tells us, informs us, it's the testimony of God, and of course of his good news. The good news that he himself has provided, produced and provided, and of course is set forth before you today, in order that other men and women, in hearing the gospel, might be brought to faith, brought to that place of trusting in God's own testimony, in his good news, in order that they might be saved from a fate worse, I say, or rather God says, a fate worse even than death. Death is not the end. Many people live with this notion, under this delusion, you know, that when they breathe their last, that that's the end of the story, that they're finished, you know, that that's then a state of non-being. That's not what God says, that's not what the Bible says. No, when you breathe your last, as you must one day do, because as God says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, then comes the judgment. Then you stand before your Maker, and as Jesus himself says, the one who would save you, he says that then you shall give account to God, even for every idle word that ever you've spoken. So listen up, hearken if you will, let not the weather deter you. It doesn't deter you from the busker. It doesn't deter you from shopping. Let it not deter you from that which is your very best good, the gospel, the good news that brings salvation, as I say, from a fate worse than death. Sin has come into the world by your first parent, Adam. He brought sin and death following upon it into the world, and it now has passed upon all men. That's why all men must die. It's sin's wages. Sin came into the world, and it spread throughout the world, throughout the entirety of humanity, so that God can see all who sin come short of his glory. So there's not a man, says God, that sinneth not. We have all of us sinned against God and come short of that glorious standard that he has set for humankind. And because of that, you see, the wrath of God hangs over us, each and every one. We're not the good persons that we purport ourselves to be. We're not the kindly, respectable, doing good people that we claim to be. On the contrary, says God, there's none good, and there's none that doeth good. These things, of course, you'll not hear from churches, inverted commas, such as that across the road from me. They long, long, long ago gave up preaching the good news of the gospel, telling men and women what they are and the consequences of what they are, the end of it, that is the end of their sin. My friends, God is angry with the wicked every day. Not in love with everybody every day, but angry with the wicked every day. The wrath of God hangs upon us because of sin. And the only one who can take it away is the one who is the subject of the good news that God sets before you today. Even Jesus Christ, his Son, the only begotten of the Father, sent into the world to be a Savior, to deliver you from that wrath, the punishment due to you for your sin. But hang back a little bit. The Bible tells us that God punishes sin, not just at the end, not after you. Beg your pardon, sir. I can't hear you, sir. Not pushing it, sir.
Yes, you are.
I'm pushing, I'm proclaiming it, sir, not pushing it. Yours to take and yours to reject, sir. But I hope you won't do the latter. No, no, my friends. Not here to push, here to proclaim. But of course the question does arise in my mind. People say that, you know, don't push it down my throat, they say. How else can I get the truth into you? Huh? How else can I get the truth into you? Gotta push it down your throat. Would I could get it into your heart, not your throat. But then, only God himself can do that. So the Bible tells us, you see, that God, well, he punishes sin in this world. Not just in the world to come. That's when the final, that's when the last judgment comes. That's when the big one comes. God punishes men and women for their sin now, here and now, in this world. Here's what the Bible says, if you will listen. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, the heathen, the pagans that is, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That, my friends, that's the punishment of God for those, my friends, who walk in the course of this world, who reject the good news of the gospel, who continue to live in ignorance of the things of God, who live in ignorance of the gospel, who know that God is, but yet live as though there were no God. Such people God punishes with blindness of mind, unable, that is, to see, that is, to perceive, to understand. When Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He means he cannot perceive, understand the kingdom of God, because he suffers from blindness of mind. That's the problem, you see, but that's the punishment for your living in unbelief, for your living in the course of this world, for your rejection of God and of his word, you see. There's a sense in which you might say, You see, in your foolish, darkened mind, you say that you do not wish God, desire God. You do not wish His good news, His love, or anything to do with His kingdom. So God says, in effect, He says, okay, I'll open up another door for you, and I'll even help you through the door. I'll give you a push through the door, and I'll give you over to another power, not mine. I'll give you over to the power of yourself. I'll give you what you want. I'll give you what you desire. And so He gives you over to blindness of mind, even to, the Bible says, a reprobate mind, to do those things that are not convenient for human beings to do. That's why you see, that's why you find men and women, you know, behaving like brute beasts. That's how you find them doing animalistic things, you know. That's how you find them worshipping the creature rather than God. Because God, in punishment, gives them over to the blindness of mind and to a reprobate mind to do those things that they ought not to do. Is God's punishment for sin now in this world, my friend? And it is punishment. God punishes the wicked. The state does it. No. If you break the law of the land, oh, no problem. They'll give you a hotel to sleep in. And they'll give you counsel, all free of charge. And they'll give you 3 square meals a day. Doesn't matter if you've murdered somebody. Doesn't matter if you've molested a child. All the state will look after you. They don't punish criminals anymore. Go up to Stafford Jail there and see the hotel behind the walls. Oh, they'll look after you for as many years as they allot for you. But that's not God's mindset. That's not how God sees it. He punishes the wicked. He punishes the evildoers. He punishes unbelief. He punishes sin, my friends, in this world. Never mind the world to come. And so you see, my friends, it is punishment. Understand the fact that you can't see, the fact that you can't perceive, the fact that you can't understand the things of the kingdom of God, the very fact that they're foolishness to you, that's evidence of the punishment that God has allotted to you because of your unbelief, because of your rejection of God Himself. His word is counsel, His good news that would bring salvation to you. It's punishment. God yet punishes the wicked sinners. He gives them over to a reprobate mind, blindness of mind. And the Bible talks about a reprobate mind given over to a reprobate mind. It's a giving over. You'll find people like this in your world to whom God has given over completely, you know, to do their own will, to do that what they want, to do that which they desire. He gives them over to an abandonment to sin. He gives them over to sin, you see. That's the punishment. More and more sin. And more sinful you become, well, mark it. Remember that I told you. Yeah? And when your sin begins to multiply, and you walk in more and more wickedness, well, that's an evidence that God is punishing you for your sin. He's giving you more of what you want. He's giving you more of what you desire. He's giving you over to more sin. That's how God punishes the wicked in this world. Yes.
What do you think God thinks of gay people?
Why are you asking that question?
I'm just curious.
Maybe just caught in trouble.
I'm curious.
What I think? What I think doesn't really matter. I'm not here to voice my own preference. I'm here to teach.
What does God think?
God doesn't care. He with when we say James, I'm talking about homosexuality.
Yeah.
So God condemns it. It's sinful. He says that in the Old Testament, the words used are a man sleeping with a man, a woman with a woman, is an abomination. But he says in the New Testament, he says that speaking to, let me read you the words. It's important, yeah? If you have a Bible and you'd like to read for yourself, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He says that because you need to know, right? You're asking the questions and you get to know, right? Be not deceived, yeah? Don't be deceived by the state, the world, your colleagues, your friends, yeah? Whatever they think, popularity isn't always the right thing. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, that's those who speak outside of marriage, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. The effeminate, that's boys who give themselves to men for toys.
Okay.
Not abusers of themselves with mankind.
Right.
That's what the Bible calls sodomites, what you would call homosexual. The word homosexual is a very, historically, is a very modern word.
Right. I'm just confused. It's like,
please, don't let me finish, yeah? Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's the punchline, right?
Yeah.
It's written to Christians. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified, saved from it, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them were all these things and more, just like me, yeah? But God, through His Son Jesus Christ, came, saved them, washed them, delivered them from that lifestyle. So the answer to the question is, God doesn't agree with it, God condemns it, yeah? His opinion, yeah, not mine. I'm not here for my opinion. I'm stating God's opinion. I'm answering your question from God's opinion. Okay?
It's just from my perspective, like, when it comes to the values of God, like, when people to love each other, and, like, just like love is a heart, it doesn't matter whether it's, like, with a man or a
woman. Yeah, but the thing that we define love, just the world sings about love, talks about love, and never defines it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Love is doing what. Well, let's leave aside the homosexuality. Let's take adultery, right? Yeah. That commandment is given. That's part of the second table of the law, right? God's law, which is offenses against our fellow human being. So when God says to me, love my neighbor, some of God's law is I should love God and love my neighbor. You're my neighbor. God has brought you across my path. You're my neighbor. I love you. So I've done this to you. You know, you're lying. If I told you a lie, if I said to you homosexuality is good, God's good with it. He loves you, whatever you are. Yeah? I would be lying to you and I would be offending my neighbor. Right? Let's take adultery, right? I'm a married man. I go sleeping with another man's wife. Right? I claim, I say, oh, hey, look at that guy. Don't storm me. Oh, hey. It was love. You know, we fell in love. We couldn't help it. Yes, I could. Yeah. I offended my wife grievously. Yeah. I didn't love my wife. I hated my wife. I went with another woman. And she had a husband too. So I offended him. I offended God. I offended the woman I slept with. I offended my wife. I offended her husband. That's hate.
Yeah,
that's not love. Yeah, because you see, as you see the society today, you go back 30 years ago.
Yeah.
That's not a long time, right? Historically, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
The conversation we're having now, we've been having,
yeah.
It's a modern explosion.
Yeah.
It's become popular. So it swings and roundabouts. Yeah. Mark my words, a young woman, I've probably gone out of this world, you'll see the day open up this one again, yeah, and people will repeat from church again, yeah, it will spring back again. Always does, it comes and goes, round and round. That's the world in which you're living in, yeah. Things become popular, and then they become unpopular. It's just a fad, it's just a fashionable thing. But I hear it's not love. It's not love because it's, God says, Romans chapter 1, check that one out. God says it's unnatural. It's not, let me not go into detail, but you know what I mean? Think about it, you know, genetically, biologically, the bits that we've got, like, you know, they don't fit together, you know what I mean? It's not what they were made for. It's unnatural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, unnatural. I respect your opinion,
but I just think that's one more thought, yeah? Uh-huh. If we were all that way,
yeah,
we all took that on board, right? That would be the end of the human race. No more
problem. Well, I suppose you could say that if we were all like potatoes, it'd be
anything. No, we're not.
God
made us human beings. He made us moral creatures, and gave us a moral law.
Okay. Well, cheers for.
Would you leave those one if I give it to you?
Probably not.
No, okay. Well, thanks for being on. Thanks for being on. And thank you for your question.
Thanks.
Have a good day, guys. Hi, bro. How you doing?
I sort of come down and thought, he doesn't come down,
Well, I thought I might have got a break, you know what I mean, but, I'll be finished in a minute. Have you seen the process of that question?
Yeah.
I should, let me answer it. Yeah. Should let me answer it.
Which, that's the sound of the...
Yeah. There's some tracks there on the top of the bag if you want to, like, I mean, don't worry about it. So, like I said, friends, you know, that's the, you know, a young lady just asked a question, you know, and we love questions, and especially, you know, when, like, the young lady, she lets me answer the question, that's always good and helpful. If you've got a question, please feel free to come and pose the question to me. Haven't got all the answers, but I'll do my best to answer your question. But as I was saying, you know, the blindness of mind, you know, and the reprobate mind, the punishment, you know, that God allots to sinners, unbelievers even, in this world today, you know, in time, not in eternity. The reprobate mind, given over, abandoned as it were, you know, just to live your sinful life. And he punishes sin with more sin. He just gives you more of what you want, you know? In effect, you say, I don't want you, God. So God says, okay, I'll give you what you want. And so he gives you over. That's what a reprobate mind is. And that's why you see some men and women becoming more and more wicked, you know, as their lives and their days go on, abandoned, just given up by God, you know, and given up to what they want, given up to their sinful course, their sinful lifestyle, punishing sin with more sin. Sin is the punishment. Can't you see it in your own nation today, my friend? Can't you see the growing, developing wickedness in your own society? You see, where? How have we come to this place? Some people I hear tell, you know, they say, well, you know, it didn't used to be this way. People were not always as wicked as they are now. Where does this come from? You're abandonment of God, my friend. He's given you over to what you want, and he'll give you more of it before you're finished. Unless that is, of course, you turn. Unless you repent and believe the gospel. And then, of course, you see, given over to a delusion of mind, the Bible says. You know, that's to believe lies, you know. To believe, to trust in things that are not true. You know, like evolution. The fanciful notion of evolution. That once you're a monkey and now you're a human being. Not possible, my friends. If you think about it long enough and hard enough, you'll get it, my friends. Evolution was never, never scientific to begin with. And it's not now, my friend. It's not now. It was just an idea, a philosophy of men, dreamed up by God-hating men. And my friend, used of the enemy of your soul to blind you further to the truth of God and his kingdom. So you see, my friends, evolution is a lie, and you believe the lie. It's more punishment, you see. It's a penalty for your unbelief, given over to a delusion of mind, to believe that which is not true. Some people, they believe, you know, they believe in, well, fairy tales, you know. Fairies at the bottom of their garden. We won't go into the Santa business today. There's some children around. But you see, my friends, to believe nonsense, to believe conspiracy theories even. I mean, what about the conspiracies that are going about just now because of the present virus? You know, delusions of mind, to believe in conspiracies, and to believe in fairy stories like evolution and many, many other such things, and even false religions are about in your world today. All 9,900 of them, would you believe, in your world today? Oh, take your pick, anyone you like, but no salvation to be found in them. Might bring you some kind of comfort, some kind of false hope, but it's a delusion, my friend. Delusion of mind. And it's the punishment, it's the penalty, you see. The blindness of mind, the reprobate mind, and of course, the delusion, the strong, and they are strong delusions, my friends. Oh, think about evolution, if you will, the many thousands, millions trapped by that evolutionary thinking, my friends, and kept captive to it. They're taught by their parents, and they're taught by their school teachers, and they're taught it by university professors, and they never get over it, they never get out of it. They're trapped by it, my friend. They live in the lie, and they live out of the lie, and they die in the lie. A strong delusion. Oh, I tell you, my friend, evolution. There's not a stronger delusion about these days. Believing a lie when it's only the truth, my friend. Only the truth as it is in Jesus that will make you free. Believing the gospel, my friend. Believing the truth of God's word. Receiving the engrafted word that is able, has the ability to save your soul. But you see, further punishment, you know, just goes on. When you reject God and you reject his gospel, hardness of heart takes place. You see, even when the gospel is preached here amongst you in Stafford today, we've seen it over many, many long years, my friends. And it hardens people. The gospel, you see, and the preaching of the gospel, it's like a two-edged sword. For some, it's the savior of life, and for others, it's the savior of death. It will either make you better, it will make you worse. But every time you reject the gospel, every time you reject the love of God, every time you reject the love of Jesus Christ, my friend, you harden some more. You crucify every time you hear it and you reject him. My friend, you crucify the Son of God afresh. All over again, you nail the Son of God to the cross. And for that, God hardens you in your mind, in your heart. And you become harder and harder and harder until your heart is like a lump of marble. And the seed of God's word just bounces off it. It can't get inside. It can't penetrate, my friend. Because you've been given over to hardness of heart more and more. To blindness of mind. To a reprobate mind. To believe in strong delusions, my friend, and given over to more and more and worse sin than ever before. Horror of mind, the Bible says. Horror of conscience. Oh, I tell you, what a horrible thing the conscience can be. Stricken, I tell you. Oh, I could tell you the testimony of infidels, unbelieving men and women who on their deathbed, all their life long, rejected the gospel, rejected God's love, rejected any notion of God. Oh, my friends, hardened themselves so impervious to the word of God, but come to their deathbed and God awakens their consciences and strikes their consciences with the horror of conscience, terrified, melting, shaking, trembling. Oh, I recall the testimony of one pastor, one minister's father, who on his deathbed, my friends, he was moments away from eternity. He had heard the gospel many times. And he's telling his son, he's stricken in his conscience. And he's slapping his legs.
God,
and he's telling,
God,
he's telling
real.
His son, put the flames out, put the flames Go. Out. He was already in hell. Oh, my friend, you know nothing. You know nothing, you think you know everything. Mankind thinks he has the answer to everything. He can fly to the moon. He understands the origins of the species. Nothing man can't do except get rid of tiny little viruses. But my friends, oh my friends, we know nothing. We know nothing until we know God, until we're right with Him, in a right relationship with Him, a true knowledge of God in righteousness and holiness through His Son, Jesus Christ, who would save and deliver you from such an end as that, from the horror of conscience, from the hardened heart, from, my friends, the reprobate mind, from further punishment in this world. Oh, turn and run to Jesus Christ. He alone, and no other can save you, but can save, I tell you, today the hardest of you. Save you, deliver you from present, future punishment for your sin and the inevitable final last day of judgment when God, my friends, will dispose of you on the basis of what you have done or not done with His Son, Jesus Christ. But today is the day, my friend. Today is the day. Oh, that horror of conscience, I tell you. When a man's conscience is awakened, only takes just a little drop, just a little injection, just a little vaccination of God's wrath into a man or woman's conscience. And I tell you, in that day, you need to know what to do with it. You know how. You need to know how to escape such horror. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that's the only cure. That's the only answer, my friends, to a defiled and a disturbed conscience. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed to pacify the conscience, pacify the wrath of God, and bring peace with God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. There is no other remedy. All the alcohol in the world and all the drugs in the world, my friend, will not cure the conscience when once God has awakened it. No, no, my friends, it's to Jesus. It's to the cross that you must go. And there, my friends, do business with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. No other by whom you can come to Him. No other who can reconcile you to God. No other who can take away the guilt. No one else who can take away the bad conscience, the horror of mind. Jesus. It's what he came into the world for. It's what he lived for. It's what he died for. He, my friends, who loved sinners and gave himself for them, that you might be delivered, saved, my friend, saved from that horror of conscience, and saved from the wrath of God. And oh, my friend, to a man, to a woman, every one of us, unmistakably, each and every one of us under the curse of God, but for the grace of God, is how we come into the world, is how we are conceived and how we are born in sin, and therefore the curse of God lies upon it. But the good news is there's one who took the curse upon himself willingly, who had no sin, who did not deserve the curse of God, but took it upon himself on the cross in order that the curse might be lifted off you and I, that we might be free from it. He was made a curse for us sinners, that we might be set free. And oh, my friends, even nature itself, even the elements, my friends, even they fight against us, even the animal kingdom. Everything, I tell you, in all God's creation is set against us because of sin, my friend. And the only one who can bring peace, can bring an end to it, my friend, bring a cessation to the warfare, the enmity in your heart and mind against God, only one, my friends, Jesus Christ. And he came into the world for that reason and that purpose. He came to live and love and die. He came to rise again from the dead, an ever-living Savior, and able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him, who put their trust in him. Able, I tell you, save the worst and save the best of you. Bring you back to God from the dark, dark path of sin, that you might be given light, light from above, that you might be given life, that you might be given eternal life even. My sheep, they hear my voice, says Jesus, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, never perish, my friend. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But my friends, believe not, and continue to believe not, and you shall die in your sins, says Jesus. Perish, that is. Perishing now, life corrupting, and given over and over in the wrath of God, given over to more and more perishing, more and more corruption. Unless, my friends, by the grace of God, you're reconciled to God by the means of the preaching of God's word, the heralding of the gospel, the good news. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? All you inherit your sin. All you inherit is corruption. All you inherit is perishing. That's the legacy that Adam, your first parent, left to you. I hope you're leaving a better legacy for your children and your grandchildren, but that's the legacy Adam left for you. Corruption, sin, punishment, penalty, wrath, my friend. And oh, the grace of God, the grace and the kindness of God, that sent his only begotten Son into the world, that through him that you might believe, that through him that you might be saved, that through him that you might have everlasting eternal life, in the name of Jesus. That one, that only name, name above every other name, name before which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God, his Father and mine. So, my friend, death came into the world by sin, And death too is the punishment. Death too is the penalty. It is appointed, divinely appointed, appointed by God. A moment in God's calendar when you will breathe your last. It's been appointed. You can't put it off, young man. You can't put it off. You can't cancel this appointment. It is appointed unto man once he die. After this then comes the judgment. Death is not the end. Death is not a state of not being. You still exist, my friend, in the presence of God, before the judge. The final penalty, the final punishment, my friend. Oh, to hear those words. I tell you, the most dreadful, the most fearful in all the Bible. Depart from me. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Lawless, get out of my sight. I never knew you. But if you would believe, if you would turn, if you would repent and believe the gospel today, my friend. Oh, to hear those words. When you breathe your last, you stand before your Maker and hear these glorious, wonderful, wonderful words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because of faith, my friend. And because of faith alone, not works. Not your good deeds because you have none. Not your good person because you're not one. Because of faith and faith alone, in Christ alone, the grace of God alone, and faith alone given by God, in Christ alone, who alone, my friends, paid the penalty, who alone did the business that needed to be done in order for sinners to be saved and reconciled to God. Jesus, He did it all, and He paid it all. And you have but to receive the instrument, the hand reached out to receive the blessing of salvation. Faith, my friends, faith. Reach out the hand of faith, believing, trusting, reclining upon Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And my friends, all my friends, receive the blessing of peace with God, hope that does not disappoint, eternal, everlasting life, never to perish. Whosoever believeth, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Read the words for yourself. Give you a copy of God's word. Read for yourself the words of Jesus, the Savior, and the one who one day will be your judge. Judge Jesus. He's the one appointed to judge you, but the one who today would save you. Would save you, my friend. He says this, repent ye and believe the gospel. Stafford, repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Oh, my friends, read, meditate upon God's word. Offered to you freely, no gospel obligation to you. You like a copy of God's word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, Stafford, and have mercy, I say, upon your precious, ever dying soul.